Let's ask the Lord to help us. Father, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you for people like Zacharias and Mary and Elizabeth, Lord, that you gave them such important roles, that you took them into your secret places, Lord, to accomplish your perfect will. And we give you much praise for that, that you're mindful of us even, that you love us, Lord. You love us more than anything else in creation. You didn't redeem anything else except man. What an amazing God you are. And we love you today, Lord, that it's not this life only, and that the best is yet to come. And we rejoice with Pat, who's in your presence now, Lord. And we thank you that you've left us this much information through Luke, that if we didn't have this, we'd be missing a lot. So help us, Lord, to learn something today and to be challenged by it and to give you much praise. So I pray this in Jesus' name, amen. If you'd like to open up to where we're sort of, is Luke 1:39. And while you're doing that, I'll tell you, if you went home today and you were putting clothes away, you'd folded them and you're putting them away, and you went into the bedroom, you're just going to have to listen really carefully. I don't know how to make it do anything different. They said they fixed it.
Is the microphone on?
If, could you check in there? Thank you.
I'm going to go out and see you.
So we'll have to listen carefully. If you went home and there was an angel in your bedroom and you were putting things away, you know, and you looked up and you saw this angel and you thought, oh, well, I must be highly favored. Here's a real warm fuzzy just for me. No. There's a whole false cult today that calls themselves Christians that was started with a 17-year-old boy and an angel. So if you go home and you get a warm fuzzy, no, that's not right. Because if you noticed in your lesson, you had several names to look up, and how did they react to the guardian angel? How did, not guardian angel, to Gabriel. They were scared to death. So if you're getting warm fuzzies, you know it's not from the Lord. So how are you to test these? Well, first of all, you use Jesus' name. And usually if you just use Jesus' name, it'll flee.
This angel shows up. Well, it's kind of spooky, isn't it?
So this angel shows up in your bedroom. First you claim the Jesus' name. Usually it'll flee immediately. And you claim, if that doesn't work, you call on the blood of Jesus. And otherwise, you can go to 1 John 5, and it talks about, do you believe that Jesus came in the flesh? That was the verses that you looked up today. Why are we to do that? Because ravenous wolves have come into among the flock, teaching all kinds of wrong things these days. And we kind of like those warm, fuzzy feelings, so watch out for them. Because remember, the devil is also an angel of light. And he knows what our needs are. He likes to tempt us with different things. So, but know that the Word of God that we're studying is complete. So the Word of God is complete. We don't need anything more. You and I don't need another book. We need to know God's word and be satisfied there. Well, last week we saw Mary. She surrendered to the Lord. Thank you.
Perfect.
As a handmaid. What is a handmaid? A handmaid is the lowest form of female servant. So today, if you go home and you're picking up socks and underwear and other stuff, just remember Mary was of the lowest form of being a servant. But I think it really shows how Mary stood the Lord. you know, just have you gone through recently where you're demonstrating you're trusting the Lord? It's something to think about. And in today's lesson, we backtracked a little bit, and the angel had told her, he will be great, he'll be called the Son of the Most High, he'll be given the throne of his father David, he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end. That hasn't happened yet, has it? But what a day ahead of us. And may I remind you that Jesus is coming again. If we screech that anymore, he might come right through. So, oh my. But Gabriel also spoke to Daniel. And I like that part where he spoke to him about end times. Because Daniel got a real vision of what was going to happen ahead of us. And it made him feel so good? No, it made him sick. Actually sick for, I think it was a couple of weeks. And can you imagine that when he saw those visions? But that's not in our lesson today. We're going to be looking at joy. And first, and then we'll look at praise. Now, Mary knew she was going to be the mother. And her relative, she had heard Elizabeth was pregnant. So she decided to take off to the Judean hills to visit with Elizabeth. And can you imagine? Poor Elizabeth had no one to talk to because her husband was struck mute. So, and as a question came in the question box, I believe he was also deaf. And we'll get to that in a minute. But so Zacharias couldn't talk, so Mary shows up, and I'm sure this was a thrill for Elizabeth to see her come, because then they could really chat. So as Mary entered the house, Elizabeth heard her greeting and was filled with the Holy Spirit. And the one word that filled her lips was, blessed. Blessed are you, Mary. Blessed are you. But most of all, because you believed. She did not say, blessed are you above women, but blessed are you among women. Mary's going to have a tough row ahead, and if she was only about 15, you can imagine the responsibility. I can't. You know, that's really scary when you go back and look at those things that the angel told her. He was going to be this and this and this and this, and I say, well, I don't think you want me. You know, I say, pass it on to somebody else. So that was pretty. It's bad enough having a baby, and they don't come with instructions, you know. It just, it would be so much easier if they came with instructions. So, anyway, Mary entered the house, and it was a time of real joy. Please note, she said Mary was blessed above women. That's so, not above women, but among women. That's so important to get that. And that her faith was the real thing that Elizabeth emphasized in Luke 1:45. Blessed is she who believed. Because Mary believed the word of God, she experienced the power of God. Now, if you haven't experienced the power of God in a while, is it because you're not taking God's word for your foundation, that you're not claiming it, you're not praying it, you're not standing on it? It's so important to do that. And then did you see the joy of the unborn son, John? I had never seen this before. It just kind of hit me this time. Because I always thought, boy, if I had a kid in my womb that was leaping, I think I'd have a problem with that. But maybe my fifth child might have been able to do that. But boy, he leaped for joy. He was filled with the Spirit. And just like the angel said, he would be filled before his birth. What an amazing thing to think about. Did you notice John rejoiced in his mother's womb? And that was because he could hear Mary's voice. He could hear the mother of the Savior coming. So all of that just overwhelms me. And having had six kids, I had nothing like that. So Well, John rejoiced in Jesus Christ just as he had during his earthly ministry. John the Baptist would have the great privilege of introducing the Messiah to the Jewish nation. That joy made him leap. Then we have the joy of Mary. Her joy was that it compelled her to lift her voice in a hymn of praise. Mary's hymn of praise was very much like Hannah's in the Old Testament. Remember Hannah when she wanted a baby son so bad, and her husband had to take on another wife and had all these children by her because Hannah was barren. But God was waiting for Hannah to get to the place of being desperate. Sometimes he does that in our lives. He's waiting for us to get desperate, and then we cry out to him. And Hannah then became pregnant, and she believed old Eli, and she had, of course, gave birth to Samuel, and he was a very wonderful prophet and man of God. But if it wasn't quoting from Hannah's prayer, then it was some Old Testament quotes. And I thought about this week. I thought, you know, I'm really struggling with something. What comes out of me? Well, not good. Not good. What comes out of you? Do verses just kind of flow out? And, oh, my. I wish I could tell you, yes.
Verses from a different book.
Yeah, wrong book. Oh, but Mary had God's word hid in her heart, and then it could turn to song. Pretty good for a 15-year-old. Her song is called The Magnificat, and it comes right out of her great desire to magnify the Lord. She uses the phrase several times here, he has done. It depends on your translation, but I counted about six or seven of them, and that's just beautiful. As she recounted what God had done for her, he was mindful of her. He saw her lowly estate. He has called me blessed. He has done great things for me. His mercy is on those who fear him. And it goes on down. He has shown strength. He has scattered the proud. He has put down the mighty. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel. In remembrance of his mercy, he spoke to his fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. Mary takes it right back, all the way back to Abraham, which means that she fully understood the promises of God. I was pretty impressed with Mary by the time I got through, because my praise life isn't quite like hers, no. But I have something to work on. And I think it's so neat because God was so mindful of her, and she believed God and yielded herself to his will. Then Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her house. I believe that Mary probably stayed here with Elizabeth and went through the delivery process, because pretty soon she's going to be giving birth to a baby in a stable, and that's not too great. And I don't even know if Joseph was on the scene. So when we get over there and you look for Joseph, I think he was out running around looking for help. But that's just my own opinion. You got to have a little fun with it. I think, you know, Mary was quite incredible. She was a wonderful person. It was no accident that she was chosen by God. It was God's definite decision. God makes no mistakes. And if you want to see the contrast, we go back to last year when we studied Isaiah 53:1. Go through that. This is this one that's been prophesied that will come and die for us. And that's such a good section of scripture to pick that up. God is coming to take away the sins of the world. Well, the rest of the chapter involves the birth of John the Baptist and the song of Zechariah, 59 through 66. I could add a few more on there. So it's It's interesting because, well, I just know that any of us who couldn't talk for 9 months, the first thing that we would say, I know it. Oh, I'm sure glad that test is over. Now let's get on with things. But please note what he does. It is so different. He's had 9 months to think about what he did in the temple, and it's bothered him greatly. Well, it came around on the eighth day that they were going to circumcise the child, and they would have called him by the name of his father, Zacharias. But his mother answered and said, "No, he shall be called John." But they said to her, "There's no one among your relatives called by this name." So they made signs. And this is the verse that I think why I say he was mute and deaf. They made signs to him. Why would they need to make signs to him if he could hear? So it's based on that. You can argue with me. That's all right. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, saying, "His name is John." And they all marveled. Immediately his mouth was open and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, praising God. Then fear came upon all of them who dwelt there, and the sayings they discussed in the hill country of Judea. And all those who heard him kept them in their hearts, saying, "What kind of a child will this be?" And the hand of the Lord was upon him. So, I love that part because, as I say, if I had been a guardian angel, I would have gone out and looked for another Zacharias once he said no to me in the temple. But I have no mercy. And instead, he brings him around and works with him. So that the very first thing out of his mouth is praise. Can you just get a hold of that? I think it's so beautiful. Well, there are three kinds of prophecy, and none of you like that question. I was going to bring some tomatoes, but we ate them all. So, it all has to do with foretelling. First, there's the foretelling of a prophet. You know, major prophets, minor prophets, and Elijah and others that are foretelling about future events. Okay, that's one kind of prophecy. And then the second kind is those who give out the word of God, those who teach you Book of Revelation or something else in Scripture having to do with prophecy. We looked at a lot of prophecy last year in Isaiah. And then there's the third kind, and I have new appreciation for this, and that is the foretelling of his praise. So you trounce into church on Sunday and they're singing these little choruses about praise, and you think, "Boy, I sure don't like this." But if you would begin to look at it as this is praise, is prophecy back to God, and he wants to hear our praises. So look at it in a new way. In fact, he lives within our praises. Don't get discouraged. It's any way we can praise God and give out his word is a wonderful thing. So you go to church on Sunday and the pastor gets you aside and he comes up alongside you and says, "Oh, Mabel, I'd sure like you to take over the Christmas dinner at church." And pretty soon, Mabel is kind of, da, 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 you know, the big hot shot in the church. And the pastor asked me to take over the Christmas luncheon. And it's all about me. God, see, the ministry is not about us. None of it. It's all about the Lord and his word. And if you can help your church do anything better, then that's wonderful. But don't make it about yourself. Remember Zacharias. The very first opportunity he had to be able to speak anything, he gave praise back to God. Well, how come they got in such a pickle here with John being called John and not Zacharias. Well, in those days, the family name was usually given to a new baby. I guess he'd be Zacharias the second or third or whatever. They are assumed his name would be the same as the father. But he wrote saying, no, it's going to be John. Remember, John had already been named by God. So after this, Zacharias was able to speak again. And again, remember that he was able to give praise back to God. High cost. That was a high cost of disobedience for him. And he didn't hear his baby's first cry. He didn't. He couldn't come home from the temple that day and talk to his wife about what he had seen. He was locked up for 9 months, thinking about what he had lost out on, I think. So, but you know, Zacharias is a quality that many of us have today. When God hears and answers prayers, we rarely get up and rejoice. Oh, that's not good. Weakened saints do not do much rejoicing. So examine yourself as you go through the day. We praise God because of who he is, not for the problem. I've got several problems. I'm not really praising God for those several problems, but I'm praising God that he's in the problems because he's in me. And that way I can give him praise every day. It's no problem. So learn to be a praise person. You'll be a lot more agreeable. Your family may faint, but that's not a bad spot to be in. All right. Well, they all sang, didn't they? Zacharias and Mary and Elizabeth. And it was all a song of prophecy. God made the promise to Abraham, Mary, and Elizabeth, and Zacharias got to be a part of it. What an amazing thought that is. He still believed in the promises that would be fulfilled. God is going to make good. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God is so mindful of you. He's going to extraordinary lengths to give you life and breath through his Son. But why would God pay such a high price to bring us to life again? That's the hard part, isn't it? God's going to bring us to life again. Could it be that we are prized above all creation? That we are loved by the God who created the heavens and the earth? That you are so loved that there isn't anything out there that's more valuable to him that he died for but you? You're his gift. And some days that's kind of hard to believe, isn't it? Well, verses 76 through 80, John was to be called a prophet of the highest. Later on when we get into Luke, we're going to see where Jesus had the highest opinion of John the Baptist, just before John loses his head. And it's interesting verses there. We'll look at it, and you're all going to hate me because you say, well, I don't understand. Well, I don't either, so we'll look at it together. But John the Baptist was a very unusual person, and he had gone to seminary. Wait a minute, I don't see where he went to seminary. Well, he went to seminary by going out in the wilderness. I have to stop saying boonies. Going out in the wilderness, just like Paul did, and just like others did. You know, in China, where they've arrest you for your faith and put you in prison, the fellows there say, this is my seminary. And think about that. You may be in a seminary right now, in a difficult marriage, or difficult kids, or difficult something, and you think you're fighting against it, and the Lord is saying, well, come to me, and I'll help you through it, and I'll work through with you. John was a very unusual person. He would have a very special task from God to take over. And I wanted to get at a couple of questions on the your lesson so you wouldn't go home getting mad or on the second page at the top, it says, evaluate. Why is it so important to include Scripture in your prayers, especially God's promises? It is absolutely night and day. When you have a prayer request, what promises of God are you claiming for that prayer request? Whether it's a wayward child, or whether it's cancer, or whether it's this bad neighbor, or whoever, what are you claiming? Because what happens is, if you don't claim God's promises, you're standing on that all by yourself. And you say, whoa, I don't think I can handle this. I'm going to do the wrong thing. Well, because your focus is in the wrong place. It needs to be towards the Lord. Why do I use that horrible phrase all the time? Did you go to the phone or did you go to the throne? You know, it's the same thing. We miss out on the blessings of God if we're not going to the throne. So stop yourself. Put the brakes on. Don't go to the phone. Go to the throne and get some direction from God. So, so important. It'll lighten your whole load. And the other one is rather profound, and I'm still not happy with my answer. It says, I know I didn't think this question up because I couldn't. It's number... let's see, 6H. Why do you think turning the hearts of the fathers to their children is part of preparation or preparing the people for the Lord to come? I've stewed over that all week. Well, you asked the question. You shouldn't have to stew over it. I think it's really amazing. That's the very last verse in the Old Testament. Why would God come out with that verse? Why wouldn't he come out with some happy praise the Lord or something? But he doesn't. He comes out with that verse, and it has a curse with it. And it's a little frightening today, because it is the structure of the family is just disintegrating. And that father figure is so critical. Most guys don't even know how to be dads. They have, you know, they kind of learn. I say instruction books with the kid would sure help, but the instruction books don't come. So here it is. It's a preparation for submission. The father is submitted to God, then it's easier for the son to be submitted to his father. You know, we have one group of people in our community that has 76% no father figure, and they're in big trouble. They form gangs and drugs. They end up in prison, and it's a tragedy because we're not following the Lord, and we're messing up. So I hope that's not true in your particular life, that if you've got these problems, run to the Lord. Don't run to the phone. Say, God, what can I do now to help this situation? What can I do now? Father, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you again for these wonderful people, for the examples that they give us. And Lord, I know from my own life, I would like to be a person of much more praise. Lord, I don't have anything to complain about. I just need to give you back more praise. And you're so worthy of it. Just think, we're all going to be together someday. And we're going to have so much fun with the Lord and in his presence. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here today that does not have that relationship with you, today would be the day that they settle it once and for all, that they want to be your child and be cleansed by your Spirit and to know you forever. What an amazing God you are. And if they're here and they don't know that yet, I pray that this might be stirred within them, and that they might just cast themselves upon you, just like I did so many years ago. And complaining the whole way, of course. But thank you, Lord, that you heard me and you understood and you gave me answers in your precious word. Wow. Bless these ladies, Lord. Every one of them have specific problems and needs, and we want to give those back to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.